Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Carson and Kennedy. Welcome to the podcast for Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. Is that right? March was a very long year.
Yep.
So on the show today, we're going to talk about what I'm doing in my quiet time at the house, from building robots to making beer. We have some really funny audio from Joe Buck. He's an announcer who has decided to call things that are going on at your house like strip poker games. We're going to talk to the mayor of Revere. He took to Revere Beach with a bullhorn to tell people to quit being dummies. And if you missed our interview with Dr. Sal, he answers a lot of really good questions about the coronavirus, COVID-19. There, that's it. Sorry. Here's the podcast. I know everybody's dealing with the coronavirus and the social isolation in different ways. I have some funny stories about what rich people are doing to deal with it.
Go on ahead. Please let me know.
Yeah,
so relatable.
I'll get to that in a second, Kennedy. I made beer yesterday.
What?
Yes. I got it. I know.
Are you kidding?
I am not.
I have a friend that makes beer. He's been making beer this whole time because there's nothing else to do.
Oh.
I'm also in the process of making a solar-powered dinosaur robot with my son.
Yes. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
No, let's go back to beer.
Yeah.
What are you going to call it?
Did you get a kit?
I got a kit. Mr. Beer is the kit. I guess it's a pretty popular, you know, if you're a novice beer maker. I got it for Christmas. I think it may be 2012. It's been sitting in my...
Well, you got to let the yeast rest. It's important.
Yes, exactly.
So those hops and things are going to be real fresh.
No. I just got it this year, actually, this past Christmas. So I got it from my daughter, Kristen. She gave it to me, and it's just been sitting around. And it's been taunting me in the closet. And then my wife has been like on me because it's in the closet. And so it comes with a 2-gallon keg and it comes with like a dozen bottles and it comes with all the accoutrement that it takes to clean it, to bottle it, to package it, to label it. I mean, just all of it.
You got a distillery in your garage now?
It's not in the garage. It's in the kitchen.
This is unreal.
Yeah. So yesterday I got on the phone with my buddy Corey, who does this all the time. And went through the whole process, and I made my IPA. I haven't named my IPA yet. It's definitely going to be something.
Dad beer. It has to be dad beer, period. End of
tool.
Story.
Tool. I was thinking like more of a pandemic IPA is what I was thinking. I don't know.
Yeah, end of the world IPA.
Thank you, Dan. You see me.
Does Sip of Sunshine know you're cheating on it?
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I started this at about 3:30. So I was like, well, you can't make beer if you're not having a beer. Right?
Exactly.
That seems reasonable.
So I cracked open a beer at 3:30. And as I'm cracking open a beer at 3:30 and making beer, my wife's like, hey, I'm going to go upstairs and exercise for an hour. I'm like, all right, you do you.
You're exercising. You're exercising your mind. You're exercising your creativity.
Yeah, we all
science
different.
In there.
Yeah, yeah. So
how did it taste?
I don't know yet. It takes,
it takes a while.
It takes 2 weeks. For it to ferment. So yeah, the keg is up in the cabinet. It's doing its scientific whatever. And when it's done, I'll bring it in. I'll let you guys sample some.
2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to stay here. So I don't really see that happening. But
I don't know.
Good. Cool.
Yeah, well, like even if we're out of quarantine, I don't know if Kennedy would try your
Well, the end of the world IPA will be available at your local Packy, I'm sure.
That homemade beer is strong.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have you done it before?
No, but I work with a guy who used to brew his own beer, and like the alcohol percentage was much higher than, say, a Budweiser.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Bud Light's like 4.3. Yeah. Carson's is like 60.2.
This is my cabinet beer. Hold on to your
I'm
butt.
Like, why am I cross-eyed after one? one sip. What's happening?
All right. So what are rich people doing, Kennedy, who are quarantining in their mansions in the Hamptons?
Oh, dear.
Well, they are paying limo companies. And why are they paying these limo companies?
Why are they paying these limo companies?
To bring them their mail from New York City to their mansions in the Hamptons.
Well, you know, look it. You have to continue to get your mail. Bills must be paid and right. correspondence must be kept alive.
There's also a challenge out there. And I guess I could do this challenge. Dan, you could do this challenge. I don't think Kennedy and Annie could do this
I
one.
I don't want to do challenges. I'm not doing any challenges. Don't.
This is the latest social media challenge for lockdown where you walk in totally naked on your significant other.
Yeah,
while they're
towel.
Playing video games or just watching a show. No, you don't. You just walk in naked and then record them while you do it.
Hmm. All right, Elvis, you ready?
My girlfriend's on Zoom conference calls at work till 5 p.m. That might be a little...
behind the laptop. Behind the laptop is all I'm saying. All right, I'll do it tomorrow with Lana or today.
I hope my parents don't do it.
I just cannot picture Lori now doing that.
We were having dinner last night and she was drinking milk out of a wine glass. And I was like, wow, we've really cracked in this house. This is it. We've been doing a Norman Rockwell painting.
Is that because she just wanted to feel fancy or were the dishes dirty?
I really don't know. I looked at her and she was like, I don't know. And I was like, okay. We're not
good for your bones.
I had some really funny audio from Joe Buck. He is an announcer. Of course, he's called Super Bowls. In fact, I think he called the game where the Patriots came back against the Atlanta Falcons when they completed the comeback.
Like- Joe Buck is one of those things. It's like mayonnaise or tomatoes. You love him or you hate him.
Oh,
there
I think
is no middle ground.
I love him. I think he's fun.
His dad was a broadcaster. The name's been around forever.
So he's,
for sure.
He's bored out of his mind, right? Because that's what he does, you know, 11 months out of the year is call games. So he has decided to ask people to send him their home videos, and then he is going to do the call on whatever it is that they're doing. Here's one where he's calling a trampoline trick shot, Kennedy.
Here's a young guy that's going to throw a basket. I don't even see the hoop. Throw a basketball from the netted off trampoline. Wow, what an arm, and he got it. To the delight of his dad, 8 seconds of glory as we watch again. And wow, dad, these are small things that bring smiles while we're all locked inside our own houses or at least our own property lines.
8 seconds of glory. I've been called that before.
Is there more? Please tell me there is more.
Oh, I got a lot more. How about Joe Buck calling strip poker, Kennedy?
Mike has lost his pullover, Gail, the shooting vest, and now what's next? In fact, I don't really want to know or see if it's what's next. And, yep, our worst fears have happened. Mike lost the hand and now lost his shirt. Goodbye, Mike.
Poor Mike.
The river will get you every time.
The flop, Dan. It's the flop. All right. I have another one, Kennedy. You want another one?
Please.
All right. Professional sports announcer Joe Buck just calling random videos that people are sending him. He's calling it from his house while watching the videos.
Well, this is a coming-of-age video for sure. If you listen to the video.
Oh, by the way, this is Killing of a Spider is what he's calling.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is a coming-of-age video for sure. If you listen to the video in the background, mom is absolutely challenging her son's manhood as they ask their kid to go kill his first spider. He's using a poker chip, so there's a lot going on in this house.
It's a poor tool.
Killing of spiders using poker chips. The kid's a little bit scared. That's fine. Raise your hand if you're not scared of killing a spider. And, yeah, he's got it. He's got it. Just press the Kleenex against the wall.
Challenging his son's manhood.
It's just so good.
He's fantastic.
I want Joe Buck to officiate or call the puppy fights that happen here because they are knocked down, drag out,
and
WWE Thunderdome type stuff.
I want him to call
Mike
me getting out of bed.
Lost his pullover, Gail, the shooting vest. And now what's next? In fact, I don't really want to know or see if it's what's next. And, yep, our worst fears have happened. Mike lost the hand and now lost his shirt.
Oh,
goodbye, dear. Mike.
All right.
So good.
I have one more, Kennedy. I have one more. This is Joe Buck calling toddler golf.
All right, here is a beautiful little boy. Looks a hell of a lot like my son, Blake. Not the conventional grip, but absolutely fearless off these tight lies. Clearly a Giants fan.
Ugh.
And yep, a little recoil and then wham, ready and ready to knock it toward the flag stick. This kid's got it. I've got him pegged for the U.S. Open sometime in 2030. And I'll be long gone by then.
Amazing. Thank you, Joe. It's the content we all need. Seriously. Know, yeah.
It's a man who loves his work.
Yes. Also, just quickly, there's been a lot of this happening on social media where you will see the name of a celebrity start trending, right? And then you're like, oh my gosh, are they okay? And so they have now released a list of all of the older people that you don't have to worry about that are self-quarantining, that are staying away from everybody else, okay?
Betty White, right?
Huh?
Betty White needs to be on
Morgan
the list.
Morgan Freeman.
Betty White, 98 years old, is staying away from people. Carl Reiner Kennedy, Norman yes. Lear. Also Bob Barker and Jimmy Carter. Cicely Tyson, Mel Brooks. David Attenborough. Do you know who that is? David Attenborough. He was in Jurassic Park. No? Okay.
Don't know.
Sydney. Oh, is he the old guy in Jurassic
yeah,
Park?
Yeah.
He's still alive?
Yes. He wow. is 93 years old.
I thought that about three of these people. I just didn't want to say it.
Tony Bennett is self-quarantining. Oh. Harry Belafonte, Sydney Poitier, Bob Newhart, Barbara Walters, Ed Asner, and Christopher Plummer. Christopher Plummer is 90 years old.
Christopher Plummer is a national treasure.
Captain Von Trapp.
Yes,
and the Sound of Music. So just know that all of those senior citizens are staying the hell away from us young people. Kennedy, what do you have for the dirty coming up at 6:30, please?
Us young people. It's adorable. You put us in that. All right. So James Corden had his Home Fest, a Late Late Show special last night. I'm going to play you some of the audio from that. It was spectacular. John Krasinski is bringing us some happiness and some good news for you. Not one, not two, but three weekend songs.
Here's a young guy that's going to throw a basket. I don't even see the hoop. Throw a basketball from the netted off trampoline. Wow, what an arm, and he got it. To the delight of his dad, 8 seconds of glory as we watch again. And wow, dad, these are small things that bring smiles while we're all locked inside our own houses or at least our own property line.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 1041.
Kennedy, I'm going to try and cheer you up a little bit right now. I got something for you. Are you ready for it?
I am.
Okay, Kennedy and Annie are right now at the South Shore Annex of the program down in Quincy. Producer Dan is here. We are social distancing. And listen, all the concerts have been canceled, right? All of the festivals, Kennedy, they're all gone.
Yep.
But there is one. Are you ready for it? Self-Isolation presents the Stay at Home Festival coming March of 2020. Featuring the Couch Test Dummies, the Cough Spring, the Indoors, Pandemic at the Disco, and No Kids on the Block. Also featuring the Flu Fighters, No Cure, Miley Virus, Men Out of Work, Depressed Mode, Billy Idol, with special guest System of a Lockdown.
Miley Virus.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Couch Cella.
Hey, that's a good one.
All right, let's get to the.
She's got the Hollywood hookup. Gossiping 24/7. It's the Dirty on the 30 with Kennedy.
With Cameron.
Yeah. So James Corden helped entertain us all last night with a star-studded primetime special on CBS. It was called Home Fest, a Late Late Show special. he hosted it from his garage, and it featured at-home performances by Billie Eilish and Phineas, Andrea Bocelli, BTS, Dua Lipa, John Legend, and Ben Platt, and the cast of Dear Evan Hansen. Here is a taste.
Actions speak louder than love songs. Speak louder than love songs.
Don't show up.
Oh.
Don't come out. Don't stop caring about me now.
Rise again. If you want me, we'll look around.
Whoever played that cowbell in Dua Lipa's song, Don't Look Now, needs a Grammy Award right now.
It's Will Ferrell from that SNL skit.
I hope so. It is the greatest cowbell drop ever.
If you have time, go watch the Dua Lipa. She does it on a conference call kind of a thing with her backup singers, the folks who play the instruments, and her backup dancers.
Unbelievable.
It is remarkable.
Are they doing like a Zoom chat? Are they?
Yeah, it was like her and 12 different screens on her screen.
Wow.
Yeah,
so they were all together. Amazing.
And I listened to that Phil Dear Evan Hansen this morning. Just I had.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Yep. Ooh. He opened the show with a speech about how coronavirus is bringing us all together, saying we are all equal. We are all simply human. This virus doesn't discriminate in any way. He shared that it's also reminded him that when this is all over, we need to make the most of every single day. Will Ferrell came on and did a comedy bit about washing your hands, mumbling through various songs you can sing other than Happy Birthday, to include Careless Whisper, Chandelier, okay. Brick House, Diamonds, and Drop It Like It's Hot.
All right, then.
David Blaine did magic as well, which I can't play for you on the radio, obviously. Right. But he ended the night by acknowledging that it has been a scary couple of weeks, admitting that he found it tougher than I ever thought I would, but realized that it's okay to feel overwhelmed and sad and anxious, noting the best thing we can all do is to try and breathe through that and to think positively and about what we can do to help others through all of this.
Love that.
He is just a gem.
Did your heater just turn off for your air conditioning in your house, Kennedy?
I don't have that. I have radiators.
Something so just, did you hear that? Something just like shut down completely. That was amazing.
It was not in my house.
Huh. Wow.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, if the radiator's all you would hear is a hiss.
Right. Oh, there it is again. Yeah, there's something going on audio-wise. I don't know what it is.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah, well, I have dog ears, so.
It's not me, I promise. John Krasinski decided to start something good right now. He launched a new show on YouTube dedicated to sharing positive stories amid the coronavirus called Some Good News. He's been asking fans on Twitter to send him stories that made them feel good or made them smile using the hashtag Some Good News. And he premiered on Sunday, staging a mini office reunion with former co-host Steve Carell as a guest. I've started watching The Office again because what else are you going to do?
Right.
I just can't decide if I love it or I hate it. I'm so tired of Jim and Pam already, and we're only in season one.
I know. I feel like that's one of the shows. Well,
it's an amazing show when you're crazy.
There are funny moments, but I guess maybe watching it weekly was better than trying to watch it all at once.
Right.
I am so over Jim and Pam right now, I can't even see straight. But that's just me. He said, for years now, I've been wondering, why is there not a new show dedicated entirely to good news? Well, because no one would listen? I don't know. He said, desperately seeking my fix somewhere else, I decided to reach out to all of you, begging for good news. He said, ladies and gentlemen, this is your fault, and this is SGN. I'm John Krasinski, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
His voice was so funny, too. Like, he really was putting on that news anchor vibe.
Yes.
We used to do a bit like that years ago, Kennedy. Do you remember that? We used to open the show. It's probably been 15 years. But we did a bit every morning where we'd open the show, and we'd play that song, Tell Me Something Good, and we'd play Good News. It's a good bit.
And The Weeknd is giving you the gift that you need while you're staying home. More music. Just 1 week after releasing his new album, After Hours, he dropped a deluxe version of the record.
You don't say.
With three new songs. Would you like to hear all three?
Please.
Let me give you number one. This one's called Nothing Compares.
Reminds me of some old Stevie B, Kennedy.
It just sounds like The Weeknd to me.
Who hurt you?
He just has
Bella Hadid is like, so should I come over? We can like quarantine together. This whole entire album's about me, so I feel like it's time.
The second song is Missed You.
Was I missed you? Yes, it's true.
Sad boy intensifies.
Abel is a sad, sad boy.
Cover the album just has like cry face emoji on it.
My favorite thing is to picture, you know, these producers working so hard to make him beats, and they're like, all right, how do you like this one? He's like, yes, perfect. I'm going to write another breakup song about how sad I am.
Yeah, not sad enough.
It's like him and Sam Smith are in a lock to see who can write a happy song first, and no one wants to break.
Did you hear, speaking of Sam Smith, he actually pushed back the release of his album?
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. and is something else.
Well, I changed the title too because it had something to do with dying. That. Like I'm dying for you, or I'm
well,
dying.
Well, his single was
something
to die
for.
Something to die for.
Yeah, and he just said he thought the timing wasn't right, and so he's going to push it back and record new songs, I guess.
And here's your third weekend song called "Final Lullaby."
And I can make you say.
So the new Weekend album is good for working out.
Okay, so I'm a puddle already, and I need you to release something just a little upbeat. Yeah.
It's just really sad.
Maybe honestly, sing about the sunshine, Weekend.
He doesn't see the sun. Glass of wine and a box of chocolates later, and listen to the Final Lullaby 60 times.
Yeah. And real quick, more rich people getting slack for not donating enough or not donating at all. Pharrell Williams recently shared a GoFundMe page with all of his subscribers to the Frontline First Responders Fund, saying hospitals are running low on masks, gowns, and other critical items. We need to replenish their supplies, take action, make a donation, and ask others to join the fight. We're in this together. Let's protect the responders on the front line. Something we're all doing.
Of course.
Sending out things saying, please help others. So then people decide to dig in and say he's worth $150 million and he should just give them the money on himself.
Oh my gosh.
You're asking people who have an average household income of less than $55,000 to donate. Well, I'm asking everybody to donate. So personally, yeah.
Right.
But like, you don't know what he gave. Maybe he gave already. Like, is this all you have to do with your spare time?
Yeah, yes, there's a lot of that now.
You know what I mean? If that's the case, then, you know, do something. I feel like if all you're going to do is be negative.
Let's go to happier times, Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just upbeat stuff.
Could you play some Dua Lipa?
I'll get you some Dua Lipa.
Thank you.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1. Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1. Kennedy and Annie are in Kennedy's living room, being socially distant from one another and from everybody else. The South Shore annex of the show is in Quincy. We want to welcome in Dr. Sal. Listen, the President Trump has Dr. Fauci. We have Dr. Sal. He's a fan of the show, and he called in last week and was just sharing some really good information about testing, and we asked him to come back on the show. Not only do we ask him to come back on the show, but we now have his own special open.
We here at the Carson and Kennedy program try to stay abreast of all the changes in our world and bring that information to you. However, let's be honest, none of us went to medical school, nor did we stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Thankfully, we found a professional who did at least one of those things. Please welcome Dr. Sal.
Good morning, Dr. Sal.
Oh, my God.
Good morning.
You're officially a part of the show now. You have your own open.
Yeah. Excellent. I do want to correct you. I did not go to medical school. I'm a PhD scientist, not a medical doctor.
Good enough.
Yeah.
You're still wicked smart. That's all that matters.
None of us went to medical school is the understatement of the century.
Don't break my intro with your facts.
Doctor.
All right. So, Sal, let me ask you this question. And we have a lot of questions that have come in over the past week after you were on the show, and you can text in your question at 617-931-1234. And one of the questions that came in was, is this spreading more among men or women? Does it discriminate by sex?
Well, you know, it's really to start off with overall, we still don't know a lot about the virus. Because it's relatively new in humans here in the United States. But the CDC does not recognize a difference between male and female as far as how it spreads.
I gotcha. Kennedy, you had a couple of questions that were sent in?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Someone was asking about false positives or false negatives. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. So, Since December, when the virus impacted Wuhan, China, You know, that's really the timeline for our experience with testing. I would say we're more focused here in the U.S. on false negatives than false positives, and that's because of the way the test is collected. So it's a nasal pharyngeal swab, so you actually have to go into the nasal pharyngeal cavity. So you need to make sure that they're going, you know, a lot of people say when they've had the specimen collected, they were digging in my brain. So if they just went into your nostril, they didn't go in deep enough. So that could create that we didn't have the right sample. And that could create a false positive. But that doesn't mean the test isn't accurate. It's the quality of the specimen.
Can you get reinfected?
So, you know, that I did see that question. And, you know, I think that the question's twofold, right? So let's say you're COVID-19 positive now. And then 2 months from now, you know, could I get reinfected? Or is it that, you know, could I get reinfected from a year from now? So unfortunately, we really don't have the answer on that yet because it's still new and it's emerging. And because it's only been, you know, in humans, to the best of our knowledge, for a few months, we're not able to answer that yet.
Mm.
Annie has a question, Carson.
Dr. Sell, I feel like I've read a couple different things about if you're not showing symptoms, but you can still be contagious. And that just kind of confuses me because if I'm carrying it, but I'm showing absolutely no symptoms and say I bump into someone or I, you know, I touch something that Kennedy has touched, even though we're disinfecting every single thing in this house. But I don't really understand how you can not show any symptoms, but still be contagious. Like, how does that work?
Well, it's hard to grasp, and there are, you know, we're seeing hundreds of individuals come in and get testing, and we're talking to them and we're hearing from them, and most people have some form of symptom. Now, you think about the time when this is impacting the U.S., right? It's cold season, it's allergy season, the trees are budding. You don't really know what is a symptom or what isn't a symptom. But yes, there are some people that are saying, I had no symptoms. Our observation has been, you know, that the younger, the 18s and the 19-year-olds are saying, well, you know, I got tested because, you know, I was in a club and someone said that they were, you know, they were positive or something like that. But I really wasn't, you know, I really didn't have any symptoms. But they're coming back positive. So it is a possibility.
It's Carson and Kennedy. We're talking to Sal. Kennedy, you had a question?
I do. It's one of the things I was thinking to do with writing letters to people mm-hmm. while I'm sitting here doing nothing, because it's so nice to get something in the mail that isn't a bill. But should I do that or not?
Writing letters.
As my hands get on them, I don't know that I can Clorox paper.
Yeah, it goes to the bigger question of how long does it live on surfaces? Like when our groceries show up, my wife is now sanitizing everything that we get from the store, the milk carton, everything.
I used a Clorox wipe on the box of Clorox wipes this morning. It's like Inception.
So meta.
So I think the easy answer is you can never practice too much hygiene. So the good thing about the family of coronaviruses is that most typical household cleansing products will eliminate the virus. So, you know, opening up mail, there's research now that shows it can live on a plastic or a laminate countertop for up to 3 days. Mm. But remember, right, this is a virus. Yep. It's actually not alive, right? It's not bacteria. It's viral. It actually lives inside a host cell. So, you know, if you open your mail and you write letters and you touch things, you wash your hands.
Yeah.
That, you know, that never let your guard down. Just always continue to use amazing.
All right. One more question before we let you go. How long after someone who has tested positive for the coronavirus and then gets better, are they still contagious?
So that is a very important question. And I know I'm not giving you a lot of concrete answers today, but you're asking those questions that everyone is inquiring about. We're seeing it go all over the place. So we're seeing individuals that test positive 7 days after symptoms and then fall off negative at day 12. And then we're seeing some people continue to test positive at day 20 and day 21.
Wow.
So it's still unknown yet. And I think even for individuals that don't have the symptoms, follow the CDC guidelines. And make sure that if you're being advised to stay in isolation until you get a negative test result, follow that recommendation.
All right, and before you go, one more, because we're getting lots of great questions. Intestinal issues, is that a thing with the coronavirus?
So, you know, it was believed in the beginning not to, but we are seeing that more and more people are saying they have a form of a GI bug, and sometimes that's their only symptom, which they assume they didn't have the virus, but it's definitely coming up more as we're inquiring with our patients that they did have some type of GI bug.
Wow.
And they're testing positive.
That's really interesting and fantastic information. Sal, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes. If we can, maybe plan on getting you back next week again, okay?
You bet. You know my number.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sal.
Take care. Bye-bye.
He's fantastic.
I love that guy.
Yeah, it's just so much good information, right?
I'm not changing the intro.
You're not what? Changing the intro?
I'm not changing his intro.
No, absolutely not.
He went to medical school. That's
in my head, of course.
We here at the Carson and Kennedy program try to stay abreast of all the changes in our world and bring that information to you. However, let's be honest. None of us went to medical school, nor did we stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Thankfully, we found a professional who did at least one of those things. Please welcome Dr. Sal.
We'll just assume he lives in a hotel.
Right.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
According to Only in Boston on Twitter, Massachusetts lawmakers have passed a bill to allow restaurants to temporarily offer beer and wine for takeout delivery. It is
bill. That happened.
No, it hadn't. This is new. It did not happen yet. It is Bill H.4586 is now awaiting Governor Charlie Baker to sign the bill. And so what does this mean if you go to your favorite restaurant to get some food for takeout or delivery, Kennedy? Well, it means that they can sell wine or malt beverages only for off-premise consumption following these conditions. It has to be in its original sealed container. The wine or malt beverage must be sold as a part of the same transaction of the food purchase. So you call up, you order a couple of meals, you order a bottle of wine. You can't just walk up to a store and say, hey, I want to buy get a glass of a rum and coke or a glass of wine. You can't do that. What's weird is as a part of this, you're allowed to get 1.5 liters of wine per transaction. Mm-hmm. And you're allowed to buy 192 ounces of malt beverage, of beer, which is such a random number. I did a little math. So if you were buying like 12 ounces of beer, which is a bottle, right? And you bought a six pack, that you'd have to buy, I think it's 16 beers to get 192 ounces.
You say like that's something wrong. You're only going out once a week.
It's just a weird number. Like, why wouldn't you pick a case?
Yeah, but it has to do with ounces.
Yeah.
It's like it has to do with fluid ounces, because I remember in Florida they only sell like 3 liter. They don't sell 30s in Florida. They'd only sell 24s.
Kennedy's puppies, who are named after malt beverages, don't believe that's enough alcohol to allow to go home. That's what they're griping about.
They are having a fight right now, so they're just
fighting about this law. They don't want the government to sign it.
Round 3 of the Thunderdome.
So, but are you still paying restaurant price? Are you paying $5 for a beer?
Oh, yeah, you're paying. Well, I guess
you know the packy.
Yes, they're going to get you. Yes, absolutely.
She's got the Hollywood
Kennedy, could you please? Oh, sorry. I got a little problem there with the computer. Go ahead, Kennedy. What you got?
It's like there's gremlins in the back.
Yep.
Or puppies fighting over it. All right. So, obviously, Tiger King is the thing that we're all loving right now. That they are.
I don't know if I love it, Kennedy. I watched it, but it got very dark and sad. You know? Well, like, I hate those people now.
There were parts of it that were. The whole documentary started as a man who was trying to understand people who own big cats and why. And then fell into this thing.
Right. I get what you're saying.
And if you guys want a companion thing, there's a documentary or a podcast called Cat People.
Mm-hmm.
And they were following these people back in December.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, there is a connection with Britney Spears, Carson.
Uh-oh.
You know, Doc Antle.
Yeah, of course. So he's the guy that has the harem of women.
Yeah, he has a cult.
South Carolina. The other guy had a harem.
Yes.
So cast your memory back to the 2001 MTV Video Music Awards when she performed I'm a Slave for You, wrapped in a snake. Hang on. While other wildlife in a cage. If you look at the picture really, really closely. Did you just put him up in the bedroom or something? Here, give me that one. Give me that one, and you can hold the other one.
It's professional radio broadcast.
No, it's fine.
What do you want me to do? It is what it is. So if you look at the video, you'll see him in the background. He doesn't have gray hair. He has black hair at that time, but he is holding the tiger behind her. When I saw the picture, I was absolutely like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened.
Well, they mentioned that in the documentary, actually. He talked about that he was like the one for, and they showed that picture at the VMAs during the documentary.
So anyway, that happened. And
Kennedy's not having it with me this morning.
Yeah, well, is she ever really?
Every story I tell, you're up my butt. I don't understand.
No, I was saying they talked about it in the documentary. That's all I was saying.
I didn't see the picture. Oh, until Annie showed it to me. So it just, I did not even, whatever. Mm. They're also saying that Carol Baskin sat next to her at one of these award shows, although I'm not completely sure that was her.
This is before or after she murdered her husband.
It didn't look like her. So, well, funny story, funny you should say that. They have renewed interest in the disappearance of Carol's ex-husband, Don Lewis, and the police are asking for new leads in this 1997 disappearance. She, of course, maintains she knows nothing to do about it.
Yeah, sure.
She knows how much can fit in a meat.
Yeah,
check the septic tank.
It's gonna be like when they dug up the zoo at Joe Exotics and they found all those bones.
There's nothing left to dig up.
Yeah, they're gonna dig up something at her zoo and they're gonna find the body.
You're not gonna find his bones.
The lion ate the man. There is nothing left. There is no bones. So speaking of Carol Baskin, she slammed the production of Tiger King and called it salacious and sensational. She claims the documentary was pitched to her as the big cat version of Blackfish, the documentary that exposed abuse at SeaWorld. She thought she was going to, come out looking good, like she's the one that's helped out. But according to co-producer Eric Good, Carol talked about her personal life, her childhood, abuse from her first and second husband, the disappearance of her ex. She knew this was just not about a Blackfish because of the things she spoke about, so...
I think, and you and I talked about this, Kennedy, where the documentary started for the guy who did it was one place, and where it ended up, obviously, five years later.
The first sentences of the documentary.
Right.
Just like, trying to look at people who own big cats and how weird they are.
Yeah.
And then the first thing Joe Exotic says is, well, she killed her husband, so.
Yep.
And then chapter two.
Oh, whoa, get the tape. Okay, keep rolling.
Somebody
keep
from The Bachelor tweeted.
We're going to need more tape.
They're like, this is every person in The Bachelor that says they go to bat at it. Carol Baskin got bad at it. That's what it is. Yeah.
And, Shaq was in the documentary, but he's saying that he had no idea what was happening behind the scenes.
So we go in there, and it's a beautiful place, and the character that was there was Exotic Joe. We take pictures with tigers. We went back a couple times. Then we go back another time, and we find out that he's involved with all this stuff. And then I stopped going, but I had no idea all that stuff was going on. I don't harm tigers. I love tigers. I love white tigers. And do I put donations to these zoos to help these tigers out? I do a lot of time. Do I own tigers personally at my house? No. Again, I was just a visitor. I met this guy, not my friend, don't know him, never had any business dealings with him. And I had no idea any of that stuff was going on.
Lana was telling me, Kennedy, her and her dad went on a road trip when she was younger. Mm-hmm. And they stopped at a friend's, and the next door neighbors of where they stayed had a tiger. Like, it was in Texas, and had a huge tiger in a cage in their backyard as a pet.
I've been to these places. I went to one in Florida. Like in my life, I have done this, and now I feel terrible that I've done this.
Yeah, I think we're all getting educated.
New York, of course, being hit hard by coronavirus, and Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively are stepping up. They have donated $400,000 to four New York hospitals. Ryan and Blake are giving $100,000 to NYU Hospital, Mount Sinai, Northern Westchester, and Elmhurst. As New York becomes the epicenter of coronavirus, hospital staffs are working around the clock, and they just need the help. They have already pledged $1 million to food banks to help people.
Amazing.
So they really do a lot of good. And, guys.
Yes.
Do celebrities doing good? Kim Kardashian's doing it with her... Her Spanx version of Spanx.
Oh, Skims. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
So she said Skims is going to donate $1 million to help families affected by the COVID-19 crisis. She said our 6-month anniversary has fallen in the middle of a global crisis. So more than ever, it's our responsibility to give back and do what we can to others, to support mothers and children in need during the time. Skims is committed to donating $1 million for families affected by COVID-19. How's she going to do it? She's restocking and selling more. It sold out in like 24 hours last time. So
yeah.
It's not her money. It's Skim's money, but that's fine. Money's money. And thank you.
At least she's trying.
Money's money. And Carson, I have a royal and then an ex-royal update for you.
Oh, I can't keep up with all that, Kennedy.
So Prince Charles tested positive for coronavirus. And after a government recommended 7 days of self-isolation, he's reportedly back in business and in good health. Charles is out of isolation after consulting with a doctor. He was only showing mild symptoms to begin with, and while he's not known how he caught the virus, his busy schedule luckily only included one visit with the Queen, who canceled all of her engagements and has moved to Windsor Castle. Camilla's self-isolation continues, apparently, so she can stay on the safe side in case she starts displaying symptoms. And then in the ex-royal, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are making their new life Instagram official. They shared their last ever post on their joint Sussex Royal Insta page, which is going dark, along with the corresponding website.
Wow.
That is something.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 1041.
Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo did something that we think is fantastic. And listen, sometimes drastic times call for drastic measures. I mean, we just heard the story out of the Satter House in Revere where you have five residents that have just passed away, and they're saying at least four of the deaths are related to the coronavirus. And you're just getting people to try and pay attention. They're like, hey, this is really important. You need to stay home because you don't know if you have it. You don't know if you're transmitting it. We have a lot of people that are very susceptible to this. It affects the upper respiratory. It's a very dangerous virus. So first, I want to say good morning, Mayor. And I want to ask you where you came up with the idea to get out there with the bullhorn and talk to people on Revere Beach.
Yeah, good morning. And, you know, we've seen a significant increase in our positive cases. Last week, we just had eight cases. We're now up to today, we have 113. It was clear to us that that too many people weren't taking the guidance seriously. And we were trying to brainstorm and some ideas of how to get some more attention and really bring it to a basic level of, you know, I said, why don't I get a bullhorn and just jump in our mobile city hall van and remind people that they should be social distancing, that they shouldn't be congregating. You know, on Friday, last Friday, there were, it was a pretty nice day, and it would have been a nice beach day any other May or March.
Right.
It would have been a great beach day. We're not in normal times, you know, and I just want to remind everyone that if they can, to please stay home. If they are out, to practice social distancing, and please don't congregate, especially on Revere Beach. I know Revere Beach is the best place in the world and the most beautiful place to take a walk.
It's gorgeous.
Unfortunately, we don't want you for now. We want you to come back in July, maybe for the Sand Celtic Festival. We want people to come back in August when the weather's a little bit nicer. But right now, it's not normal times, and we do have to take drastic measures. And grabbing a bullhorn is a little drastic, but you know, whatever we need to do, whatever I need to do to get the message out to my residents to keep them healthy and to make sure that they're staying home, I'm going to do that.
So once you did this, what did the people say? Did you get any calls to the mayor's hotline?
So we've gotten a few calls.
Because there's always
that guy. I had some great conversations with people, just reminding them. You know, I had my second grade teacher was out walking, and she, you know, she has a heart issue. She said, I need to walk. The gym equipment in my building is not being used. We're not allowed to use it.
Right.
I needed to get out and get a walk. And I said, just please, you know, practice social distancing. Don't get too close to people. But the number of people who were surprised that there were so many people on the beach was really kind of shocking to me, because, you know, we're trying to remind people to stay home if they can. And I think people just, you know, humans are have natural habits, and a habit for the folks in the Revere area is to go down the beach on a nice day and take a walk. And you know, we just want to make sure people know that this is serious, and it has impacted folks on the beach. The Jack Satter House, my heart goes out to everyone in that building and everyone who's been affected. You know, we now have five deaths in the city of Revere from COVID-19. We have, like I said, 113 cases right now. That number will go up. We've seen our numbers go up each and every day. So, you know, we're trying to just get the message out that people should stay home. If they can't stay home, they can even call we do have a hotline, 311 in the city of Revere. Mm-hmm. We're making food deliveries. We're providing wellness checks, and we're calling seniors just to see if they need anything. But, you know, we're here to support people who maybe can't stay home, right? If they have to go out and
Right. Want them to be safe.
It's Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1. We have Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo on. Did Annie have a question for the mayor?
She does. Mayor, I have to tell you, first and foremost, I am a South Shore girl through and through.
Here we go.
But I do, you know, you're okay in my book. Even though you're from Revere, you know, you're the North Shore guy, you're okay in my book. I want to know, with the weather, you know.
He was worried about that, I'm sure.
I really had to get that out. Thank you so much for understanding. with the weather kind of, you know, it's been gray and rainy, do you think that you'll have to do it again this weekend? Do you think that people will start to kind of get the message more seriously now?
So we've been looking at the forecast. I know, I think on Monday it looks like one day that may get up to 65 or 70 degrees. We're keeping an eye on that. We've also been in touch with our partners at the state level to make sure that they know, you know, at the end of the day, the beach is owned and operated by the DCR, which is a state office that runs and operates the beach. So I've been in conversation with the governor, just letting him know about what we're seeing on the ground and what precautions we need to take, because the last thing we want to do is again have folks in the community spreading the virus, and we've seen what happened at the Satter House. And one other thing I have to say is that the businesses on the beach have been great. Kelly's Roast Beef has really stepped up. We had conversations with them, some difficult conversations about their operation and that they had people congregating around, and they've been more than willing to step up, and we really appreciate that. I appreciate that. I know the residents appreciate that for helping to make sure that we're all healthy.
Well, we want to help too, Mayor. And so we have the Revere Mayor on, Brian Arrigo, and producer Dan has said, you know, listen, you shouldn't be the one that have to go down to the beach and yell at people with the bullhorn.
You're a busy man.
So he has offered, and he's put together a demo reel of what it would sound like if he went down for you. Take a listen.
Hey, hey, hands off the swing set, Margaret. Parks are closed. That's right. You've seed your last saw until 2021. I think Dora's exploring something. Go inside and watch it. It's a pandemic. Come on. Hey, 6 feet apart, Romeo. That's not social distancing. I see you over there. It's not a Niall Horan song. Keep your slow hands to yourself. 6 feet, 72 inches. Go hold her hand virtually with a TikTok or a fire emoji or whatever you do. Social distancing. All right, break it up, break it up. You think I don't know what 30 red solo cups in a semicircle means? I've lived. No social gatherings of more than 10 people until further notice. What, you think I'm happy? They closed the flea market. That's where I get my pants. I got so many friggin' holes in my Levi's, I look like I should be in Tiger King, kid. If I tell Mayor Arrigo you're out here stanky-legging and Dougie and heads are gonna roll. Roll! Everyone who is not a seagull, get the hell off the boardwalk!
What do you think, producer Dan? If you need him, he's there for you.
You know, we've actually got a sound truck. We're looking for some folks to maybe get the message out. We want to get it out in multiple languages, but those are some good messages.
I also speak Polish.
He speaks North Shore and Polish.
All right, Revere Mayor Brian Arrigo, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Mayor.
Listen to what the mayor is saying. Stay home. It is the best for everybody. Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks so much. And I just have to say one quick thing. My niece, Ani, had a birthday yesterday. She turned 9. I just want to say happy birthday, Ani. Sorry we didn't get to celebrate it all together, but happy birthday.
Kennedy, and here's the funny story. You want to talk about a small world. Ani is, like, his family is related to friends of ours, Ani and Torin, her brother. Torin plays lacrosse with Barrett.
Small world.
Of course.
Small
of course.
World.
Yeah. So
small
anyway.
World.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.